Good evening, everybody. So much to talk about as we get ready to celebrate Pesach, but I was trying to think of something that would be unique to this year of Pesach. Of course, every year we have issues about kashering and products and all different kinds of questions that we have about the Seder and Divrei Torah, but I was trying to think of something special this year that we can talk about that is relevant to the situation that's going on now, but also that is not going to be depressing. So try to figure out what that would be. What I came to the conclusion was, let's talk about an issue that is a very fascinating sugya, and that is, if let's say we have soldiers, I don't think this is depressing that we have soldiers in Gaza. That is an extremely exciting possibility, that we have soldiers who are taking care of what needs to be done. Hopefully they'll take care of it as swiftly as possible and everybody will be safe. But now, for the first time in many years, we have soldiers that are in Gaza and they are going to be there for Pesach. I have family members who have said that they are not going to be coming home for Yom Tov because they are going to be there, which is not what they expected. So the question becomes, how many days of Yom Tov should they be observing when they are in Gaza? Should they observe 2 days of Yom Tov because it is considered a little bit like Chutz La'aretz, maybe, potentially? Or should they observe 1 day of Yom Tov because, after all, Gaza, as much as it is inhabited by other people, we assume that this is part of Eretz Yisrael, it is Eretz Yisrael proper, and therefore they should observe it 1 day of Yom Tov just like anyone else in the land of Eretz Yisrael would. And that is the basic question. We're going to have to unpack the sugya, try to understand the evolution of the whole story of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galuyos as we know, and that is what we're going to be discussing this evening. Just to get one common mistake, maybe it's not common, but it was a mistake for me. When I was in grade school, we had a brachos bee. And you get to, one level, and then you pass another level, and whatever. Then we had inter-school competitions, and I made it to the competition that was further, and then they had to make up new questions that weren't in the brachos because there was nothing left. So they made up a question, and that was, who instituted Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galuyos? And one of the choices was Galuyos. So I thought that that was the obvious answer. And of course, that was a mistake that I made in fourth grade, and nobody should make that mistake. Galuyos is not the one who made up Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galuyos, which really means this is the second day of Yom Tov that is observed in the exile outside of Eretz Yisrael. Let us try to understand what this is all about. If you look in the Gemara Maseches Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chav Beis, the Gemara tells us that originally the way everything began, how did we determine when it was going to be Rosh Chodesh? Says the Gemara, the way we figured it out was, we had a Bezdin that was convened, and they used to have witnesses that would come in, and those witnesses, based on the testimony of what they saw of the moon, based on that, we used to declare it Rosh Chodesh. Now, the problem then became, how do we get from the testimony that was accepted in the Beis Din in Yerushalayim to then let the word out to the rest of the Jewish world to let them know that it is Rosh Chodesh? That was the problem. The Gemara says they had a system which was very effective and very efficient, Hayu Masiyin Masuos, which means they would used to carry torches, and they would go on the top of a big mountain, put a torch on top of the mountain, somebody would wave the torch, and then the person on the next mountain would see, and then they would get the message across, everybody would continue to travel around, and that's the way that they would effectively let everybody know that it was Rosh Chodesh. When that was the system, things were working very well, and the Gemara says that everybody knew exactly when Rosh Chodesh was, which meant everybody knew exactly when the Yamim Tovim were supposed to be, everybody did exactly what they were supposed to do. Then the Gemara says, there were some problems. The problems were Mishakilkalu Hakusim. There were some problem communities within the Jewish community who saw this is a great opportunity to ruin the whole system. What are we going to do? We're going to arbitrarily go on the top of a mountain a day earlier, a day later, confuse people. We're going to start bringing torches on top, and then people are going to think today's Rosh Chodesh. What happens if you think today's Rosh Chodesh? Then 15 days later, when it's Pesach, it's really not Pesach, and then you end up eating chametz on Pesach or matzah on Erev Pesach, and you have all these problems. So the Kusim ruined the whole system. So now they had to change it. And Chazal said, we have a more efficient way of getting the message out. And that is, we are going to send messengers. We're going to send shluchim out, designated individuals to go to every community and let them know when it's going to be Rosh Chodesh. Now that sounds like a good system. The problem is, there are some communities that are nowhere near Yerushalayim. So how can a messenger get from Yerushalayim to all of these cities in time that they should know exactly when Rosh Chodesh is actually going to be observed? That was the problem. And the Gemara says that because of those cities that were very far away from Yerushalayim and there wasn't sufficient time, again, they didn't have trains, they didn't have planes, they didn't have cars, no helicopters, so you had to go by horse and buggy, however you were going to get there. How far can you get? Says the Gemara, it was inevitable that there were going to be some communities that were not going to be close enough, and by the time Pesach came around, 15 days into the month, They had no idea. The shliach, the messenger, still couldn't reach those communities. It was too far away. So what did they do? So that's when they instituted, says the Gemara, Maseches Erevin, and in Beitza, and in Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara says that's when they came up with this idea of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galuyos, that anyone who lives too far away from Yerushalayim, which was the hub at the time, has to observe 2 days of Yom Tov. Why? Because the messenger could not reach you in time, which meant you do not really know when Pesach is supposed to be observed. You don't know when we're supposed to sit in the sukkah. You don't know when to do all the different mitzvos. And therefore, in order to err on the side of caution, you have to observe 2 days of Yom Tov to make sure that you are doing everything properly. Think about it for a moment. That means, hypothetically, there are communities in Israel itself that observe 2 days of Yom Tov, correct? Because there are communities that were more than a 15-day travel, it's possible, and in those communities, the shliach, the messenger, was not able to get there in time, and even though they were in the confines of the land of Israel, they still observed 2 days of Yom Tov because they were too far away for the shliach to get to them. And the Gemara also says another possibility, which is very interesting. The Gemara Maseches Rosh Hashanah Daf Chaf Aleph says, let's say you had a community that was within 15 days. Let's say it was 12 days away or 13 days away. Okay, so that's fine. For Pesach, we're okay. So really, they should observe 1 day of Pesach. Then you come to the month of Tishrei, when we have to let everybody know when it's going to be Sukkot. Problem is, we have how many days to travel during Tishrei before Sukkot? You knock out Rosh Hashanah, you knock out Yom Kippur. The shliach, the messenger, is not allowed to travel on Rosh Hashanah or on Yom Kippur, which means if you were in that twilight zone, if you were in that community, the sweet spot, you were within 15 days, but you were, let's say, 13 days away, so then it turns out that you were going to observe 1 day of Pesach and 2 days of Sukkot. That sounds crazy. It's going to get very confusing. And the Gemara says, you know what, they made a rule, anyone who is too far away, where the shliach cannot get there in time for Sukkot, that community automatically is deemed as a community that keeps 2 days of Yom Tov. That's the way it goes. Now, in which time period in history did the whole institution of Yom Tov Sheni actually begin? So the Gaonim actually write in the Tshuva of Rabbi Haigon, that's quoted by many other Svarim, he writes that this all started in the days of the Nevi'im. Yecheskel HaNavi and Daniel were the Nevi'im who were in Bavel after the Jewish people were exiled out of Eretz Yisrael. And they said, we have a problem because we do not know exactly when we're supposed to observe Rosh Chodesh, which means we don't know when to observe the Yamim Tovim. So this goes all the way back to the days potentially of the Nevi'im during the Galus Bavel after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Okay, nowadays, says the Gemara, we no longer have the system of Kiddush HaChodesh. We don't have a Beis Din that comes together and accepts witnesses and testimony and tells us what they saw of the moon, what they didn't see. We don't have that system. We have a fixed calendar. And we can say, some people know the calendar very well. I don't understand the system. One of my children knows it very well. He can tell you in 20 years from now when the next time we're going to have this Haftorah and this many days Rosh Chodesh and this Parsha is going to be read. Some people have a knack for these things. So the Gemara says now we have a fixed calendar and we know from the outset, from the beginning of the year, when all the Yamim Tovim are going to fall out. So says the Gemara, this whole system of Yom Tov Sheni seems to be irrelevant, which is a very important question. It's an obvious question. Writes the Gemara, Hashta diadinam bikviya diarcha, now that we have a fixed calendar and we no longer go based on the old system of accepting witnesses and declaring Rosh Chodesh in Yerushalayim, my taima avdinan treyomi, why do we have Yom Tov Sheni? Which is the question that everybody has asked. And that is why there are some members of our generation who are incorrectly saying that we should just abolish 2 days of Yom Tov. You know what? Your question is such a good question. The Gemara even asked your question. They just didn't finish the sentence. The Gemara asked this question, and then the Gemara concludes that we still observe 2 days of Yom Tov, even Bizman Hazeh, even today, when there really is no logical reason for it, because we have a fixed calendar. Says the Gemara, Hizharu b'minag avoseichem b'yadeichem, Chazal made a takana, that even though it may not be relevant any longer, we still do it because we're concerned. Maybe there's going to be a kilkul, maybe something's going to go wrong, there will be a shas hashmad, we're going to lose our calendar, we're going to lose the count, nobody's going to know where we're up to, and because of that remote possibility, we all observe 2 days of Yom Tov, even at a time when we have a fixed calendar. Okay, this is codified in the Rambam, where he explains very explicitly the whole evolution of how this started. And he says, it used to be that we had the system of being Mekadosh the Chodesh based on the witnesses that came in. And then we had this problem, and everybody was relying on that. And then he says, we come to the time when We no longer have that system. Now we have a fixed calendar. Lefikach, kol makom shelo yishluchei tishrei magiyin elav kishahayu ashluchim yotzim. He says, the bottom line is that we assume any place where they are not able to get there, they observe 2 days. Any place where they would have been able to get there, they observe 1 day, even though the whole system is not relevant to the reality that we know today. And the Rambam ends off and he says, let us make it clear that Yom Tov Sheni is only midivrei sofrim. Yom Tov Sheni is only midrabanan. Of course, it is not midaraisa. Now, the question that one can ask, which is actually raised in the Ksav Sofer in his tshuva, he has a lengthy discussion about it. I understand that you want to make a Yom Tov Sheni because you're concerned maybe someone's going to eat matzah on the wrong day, maybe they're going to eat chametz on the wrong day, all of that, and maybe there's going to be a problem sometime down the line. But what about the mitzvah of tefillin? A man has a mitzvah to wear tefillin every day. So you're willing to say, be mevatel the mitzvah of tefillin for an extra day? We know that on Shabbos and Yom Tov we don't wear tefillin. But today is not Yom Tov. Today is a regular day. Either today is Chol HaMoed or today is after Yom Tov is over. How do we abolish the mitzvah of tefillin? How do we have a right to do that? That is the question that the Ksav Sofer raises, and he quotes a Tshuvas HaRashba, where the Tshuvas HaRashba says, listen, if we're going to say that, yes, Yom Tov Sheni is very important and we have to treat it very seriously, it's an extension of the first day of Yom Tov and it has its own rules, if you're going to say that we're only going to differentiate in one point, we're going to say, you're right, the first day of Yom Tov, don't wear tefillin, second day of Yom Tov, you should wear your tefillin, what's going to end up happening? People are going to say, you see, Yom Tov Sheni is not the same as Yom Tov Rishon. If it's not the same, then why be observing it at all? We should just get rid of the whole thing. So he said it starts with wearing tefillin on the second day of Yom Tov, and it lands you in a place where you're not going to keep Yom Tov Sheni at all. Therefore, says the Ksav Sofer, quoting the Rashba, that is why the Chazal made a calculation where they felt it was worth it to even get rid of the mitzvah of tefillin for an extra day, which is a big deal, even though we're taking a big risk in doing that, in order that we should preserve the whole institution of Yom Tov Sheni. Now, says the Rambam, don't mistakenly think that because it's Yom Tov Sheni, therefore it's a free-for-all, and one has a right to do whatever they want because it's only midirabanan. The Rambam says, no. Kol davar she'asa b'rishon, asa b'sheni. Whatever you're not allowed to do on the first day of Yom Tov, you are not allowed to do on the second day of Yom Tov. And he says, anybody who's mechalal the second day of Yom Tov is put in chayram, a terrible whatever. And then he says, you have to have a mitzvah of simcha on the first day of Yom Tov as well as on the second day of Yom Tov, and even though it's only midirabanan, we have to understand that we take it seriously. Now, that being the case, and we do everything twice, right? We say Kiddush twice, Shechiyanu is a big question, but we eat matzah twice, we have a Seder twice, everything's twice. The Baal HaMor Maseches Pesachim asked the obvious question, why do we not count Sfira twice? We do everything else twice. We blow shofar both days of Rosh Hashanah. We eat matzah both days of Pesach. We sit in the Sukkah both days of Sukkot. We say Kiddush both days of Yom Tov. We do everything twice. So why is it, the one exception that we have, asked the Baal HaMor, is when it comes to Sfiras HaOmer. Every night of Sfira, we should get up and say, tonight we're counting Sfira, and tonight is the first night of Sfira. Then tomorrow night we should get up and say, tonight is the first night of Sfira, but we're not sure, maybe tonight is the second night of Sfira, maybe it's not. So we're going to count every night, maybe tonight is one, maybe tonight is two, maybe tonight is two, maybe it's three. Just like you say Kiddush every night, just like you do everything else twice, you should do this twice as well. That's the question of the Baal HaMor. And he says, how do you understand if we really treat this like a suffix, if we really say that we're not sure, then we should be not sure about everything, and it should be one uniform standard. That is a very rich, important, interesting topic, and a very important question that we don't have time to discuss, but definitely something to think about. Now, the major question is, how do we determine which communities keep 2 days of Yom Tov, and which communities do not? Now, you think the easy answer is, well, if you live in Israel, it's 1 day. If you live outside of Israel, it's 2 days. Not so simple at all. Let me break down this question to two components. Let me first get into the question from the days when they used to be Mekadesh al-Pi HaRi'iyah, when they used to have a Beis Din that convened and they accepted witnesses, which communities used to keep 2 days and which kept one? The answer is, you draw a circle around Yerushalayim and you figure out how far did people used to be able to travel within the amount of time that they needed. And what's beyond that? So it doesn't matter, Eretz Yisrael, not Eretz Yisrael, it solely depends on how far you were from Yerushalayim. That was in the days when the Beis Din used to send out the messengers. What about
12 days.
What? Something like that, 12, 13 days. What about if you are Bizman Hazeh? Once we have a fixed calendar, and the Gemara says, once you have a fixed calendar, the whole Yom Tov Sheni is only because we want to make sure that in case there's going to be a mistake, something's going to happen later on, there's going to be a Shas HaShmad, we're going to be well prepared for that. Now, if that's the generation that you live in and you no longer have a concern about the real Yom Tov Sheni problem that we used to have, then the Rishonim have a discussion. How far would you draw the line? How would we set this up? Who has to keep Yom Tov Sheni and who does not? That is the big question. The Rambam says we stick with the same old parameters, which means that if you live within a radius of 12, 13 days of Yerushalayim, then you observe one day of Yom Tov. If you live outside of that, and the shluchim did not get to you, then you observe 2 days, which potentially means, according to the Rambam, even if you live in Eretz Yisrael, but you're more than that distance away, you would observe 2 days of Yom Tov, which is something probably many of us have never heard. But that's what the Rambam's opinion is. And the Ritva very famously disagrees, and he says, no, no, no. We made one uniform standard, and we kept it simple. And what did we say? Now that we have a fixed calendar, and we know exactly when the Yom Tovim are going to be, and the only reason why we observe Yom Tov Sheni is because of Minag Avoseinu B'Yadeinu, it's just because that's the way we do it. If that's the case, says the Ritva, let's just make it simple. If you live in Eretz Yisrael, you observe 1 day of Yom Tov. If you live in Chutz La'aretz, you observe 2 days of Yom Tov. And that's the end of the story. Says the Ritva, we're not going to start differentiating between how far you are. It's not relevant to our discussion today because we don't send out messengers anymore. So we made one uniform standard, and that is Eretz Yisrael dikers keep 1 day of Yom Tov, a ben Chutz La'aretz keeps 2 days. Now the question becomes, what is the status of certain areas in Eretz Yisrael that are a little bit on the fringes? Let me just finish the thought. So one of those is brought up in the comment on Shulchan Aruch called the Shari Tshuva. Shari Tshuva is on the page of Shulchan Aruch. Every page of the Mishnah Berurah has the Shari Tshuva. And he quotes a major discussion from the Radvaz and others and the Maharit. He has a major discussion about what is the status of the city Aza. What is the status of the city Aza, which I assume is Gaza City? What's the status of that city? Do they keep 2 days of Yom Tov there, or do they keep 1 day of Yom Tov there? Do we assume that that is part of the Yishuv of Eretz Yisrael? Do we assume that that is part of the captured lands, occupied territory of Eretz Yisrael? Or do we say, no, that was something that was added on later. It's occupied land, and therefore it is not really part of Eretz Yisrael proper, and therefore it would not take on the status of 1 day of Yom Tov. It would be like Chutz La'aretz, and it would have 2 days of Yom Tov. That is the major, major dispute that they have. Now, in discussing this, the Radvaz has the following discussion in the middle, and he says, maybe you should say that we should look at what they do in Aza and figure out whether it should be Yom Tov Rishon, Yom Tov Sheni. He says, I'm not sure whether you can figure it out because maybe they're following the position of the Rambam. And the Rambam is the one who said that it depends on how far you are from the circle of Yerushalayim, and it's not dependent on whether you're in Eretz Yisrael or not. So that's not a way of determining the status of Gaza City. It's not a way of knowing whether Aza is part of Eretz Yisrael or perhaps not. This was a major, major dispute as to whether or not we should assume that Gaza is considered to be part of Eretz Yisrael in terms of this story or perhaps not. There are some achronim, the Yavitz, who's also quoted there, the Yavitz writes, that it's obvious to him, she'aza lo michlau gola nechsheves. How can you say, Gaza, we all know, it's part of Eretz Yisrael, of course it is. You can't say that's part of Chutz La'aretz. Halo me'etzem Eretz Yisraelu. It's ours. We're not occupiers. This is our land. This is part of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, he says, of course, they would only observe 1 day of Yom Tov. This is a major discussion among the achronim. Now, that all sounds good, and that's a big discussion with regard to Gaza City. And let's say you follow those opinions that say Gaza City is considered to be a major part of Eretz Yisrael. It was always included in the whole story, and therefore it's only 1 day of Yom Tov. Now, it becomes a little bit more complicated when you think about the status of Chevel Aza. Chevel Aza is all of the small yeshuvim, all of the communities that were established after the major city was established. And that all came along way later in history. The question then becomes, what is the status of those communities? Do they also take on the same status as the big city of Aza itself? Or do you say, no, maybe those should be a status and a discussion in and of themselves? That is a major point of dispute that has to be discussed as well. So, let's go back. If you follow the opinion of the Ritva was the one who said, the cutoff is very simple. If you live in Eretz Yisrael, 1 day of Yom Tov. If you're outside of Eretz Yisrael, 2 days of Yom Tov. If that's the way you understand it, then it doesn't matter if you're a big city, a small yeshuv, a big settlement, a smaller one, how many people live there. If you're in the confines of what we define as Eretz Yisrael, then you keep 1 day of Yom Tov, so then it wouldn't matter. But if you hold like the Rambam's position, which is, it depends whether a shliach would get to you, there was no place that existed back then where a shliach would travel. this little yeshuv over here didn't exist in the days of the Beis Din when they used to send out shluchim. And therefore the Rambam says, if you have a community where we are not sure whether or not they were actually in the path of where the shluchim used to travel, that community would observe 2 days, even if they are in Eretz Yisrael proper. And therefore, that is what leads many of the poskim to discuss whether the smaller yeshuvim around the Otef Aza should be considered to be 1 day of Yom Tov, or potentially 2 days of Yom Tov, because it is considered to be out of that line that the Rambam drew of where the shluchim used to travel. The same question was raised as well with regard to Eilat. I was actually asked to Shiloh this summer. There was a NCSY group that was traveling the country. I don't know which group it was. And one of the kids on the program called because he's a Kohen. And of course, in Eretz Yisrael, they do Berachos Kohanim every day. Big question why we don't do it in Chutz La'aretz. Major Shiloh in the postgame. How do we explain why we don't have Berachos Kohanim every day? The Torah says a Kohen should give a bracha. It sounds like it's a mitzvah every day. So that's a big Shiloh. The Vilna Gaon discussed it. The Aruch HaShulchan, the the Netziv quotes that he had a family Masorah to explain from the Vilna Gaon why we don't. Big question why we don't. But Lamaisa, the bottom line is, in Chutz La'aretz, we don't duchen, except on Yom Tov. And in Eretz Yisrael, we duchen every day. So this boy called me up and he said he was so excited. He came to Yerushalayim, he gets the duchen every day. It was great. And then they took a trip down to Eilat. And he said, am I supposed to be duchening every day? And I said, well, I didn't even understand the question. Why wouldn't you? And he said, well, I've heard that there's a question whether Eilat is considered to be Chutz La'aretz or Eretz Yisrael. And that is a major shaila in the poskim as well, which is not only relevant to this. Most people talk about it when you discuss Yom Tov Sheni, Yom Tov Rishon. Should we say that Eilat has to keep 2 days of Yom Tov? Because that's way out. That's way out of the discussion that we're describing here. Or the whole area, the Arava or the Negev, all of those were up for discussion as to whether or not those should be part of this definition of 1 day of Yom Tov, or maybe we should say it is two. The one who really brought up this issue to the forefront was Rabbi Chiel Michal Tukachinsky in his Sefer Ha'ir HaKodesh V'Amigdash. And he writes there that he sent the Shaila to 18 Gedolim at the time to ask them, what is the status of Eilat? What is the status of the Negev? What is the status of the Arava? People are living there now. What do we do? Do we tell them to observe 1 day of Yom Tov or perhaps two? And he writes that he only identifies 3 of the great tzaddikim who he sent the Shaila to. He doesn't say who all the 18 were, but he writes that one of them was Rav Herzog, the other one was the Chazon Ish, the third was Rav Uziel, who was, I think, the Sephardi chief rabbi at the time. And those are the only ones he quotes, and he says they all came to the conclusion that we paskin like the Ritva, which is that if you're in Eretz Yisrael, you observe 1 day of Yom Tov. If you're outside of Eretz Yisrael, you're 2 days. And therefore, for all intents and purposes, we assume that all of these are considered to be part of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore there is no reason why they should keep 2 days of Yom Tov. That was their conclusion, and that is what they told him. What is completely fascinating about this discussion is that even though the Chazon Ish told him that Eilat should keep 1 day of Yom Tov because they're part of Eretz Yisrael and we paskin like the Ritva, it is quoted in the name of the Chazon Ish. Again, the Chazon Ish himself doesn't write it anywhere, I don't think, but it's quoted by family members of the Chazon Ish. And also, I saw it in a few places, that the Chazon Ish is quoted as saying that in Bnei Brak, where he lived, he used to be machmer to keep the second day of Yom Tov. Why would he be machmer to keep the second day of Yom Tov in Bnei Brak? How far is the trip from Bnei Brak to Yerushalayim? Can you think the shluchim could have gotten there within 15 days? Of course they could. So why was the Chazon Ish machmer not to do malacha on Yom Tov Sheni? What's the issue? What's he concerned about? So the Chazon Ish said, his concern was, maybe we paskin like the Rambam, that it is not determined by Eretz Yisrael or Chutz La'aretz, but rather by where did the Shluchim go? And he said, who told you the Shluchim made it to Bnei Brak? Maybe Bnei Brak was a tiny little city at the time and it wasn't worth their time. And they went to a different place, and they went to Yafo, or they went to Tel Aviv, and they didn't make it to Bnei Brak. And therefore, maybe I have to be concerned that I'm one of those communities where the Shliach would not have made it. Therefore, says the Chazon Ish, that maybe I have to be concerned that really I need to observe Yom Tov Sheni because, number one, maybe the Rambam is correct. Number two, if the Rambam is correct, maybe Bnei Brak happens to be one of those communities where nobody used to travel to. And therefore, he said, I have to be machmir and I have to be concerned that maybe Yom Tov Sheni applies to me even in Bnei Brak. That is a fascinating chiddush of the Chazon Ish. And that is what he said. On the other hand, Ritzi Pesach Frank writes that there were those who said, yeah, you know, we should also think about it when we have a community, where did he write? In Makar Baruch, in Yerushalayim. That's like Yerushalayim proper. That's right near the old city of Yerushalayim, Makar Baruch, right? And Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank said there were those Jews there who said, on Yom Tov Sheni, we shouldn't do malacha because maybe the shluchim didn't get to us. And Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank said, in his opinion, he felt that that was Baal Tosef. What do you mean? You think the shliach didn't get to the community right outside of Yerushalayim? You think he skipped that stop on the highway? Of course he stopped here and then he went further. So again, it's a very rich, very interesting topic and a very interesting discussion to have. Now, there was a discussion about a chayal who is in Beirut. So what does a chayal do who's in Beirut? Is he supposed to keep Yom Tov Sheni or not? So the question then became, how do they observe Yom Tov Sheni, or perhaps they should not? So what are you asking? So that leads us right into the next question. You'll say, even if he's in Chutz La'aretz, and now he's currently in Lebanon, or he's in Beirut, or wherever he's going to be, he's a Ben Eretz Yisrael. I live in Eretz Yisrael. So what's the shaila? This is a big shaila that was actually sent to Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and Reb Shlomo Zalman said that that the chayalim have to observe Yom Tov Sheni when they are in Chutz La'aretz. What do you mean? But I'm a Ben Eretz Yisrael. So let's just try to understand that before we dive in Marav. We have 3 or 4 minutes. Let's try to just unpack that. The Gemara says in Maseches Pesachim on Daf Nun that whenever you go to a community that has a different minhag than the one that you grew up on, you have to be noig like that community, because we don't want to have Al Yishana Adam Mipnei Machlokis. A little bit of a complicated Gemara steer and a Mishnah there. The bottom line is the Gemara says you should always follow the Minhag HaMakom as long as what they're doing is legitimate, but you should follow Minhag HaMakom. My father likes to say Minhag HaMakom in America is not to be Shomer Torah Mitzvos. Achri Rab Lahatos. Right? Maybe we should say millions of people in America who don't care about our values. No, we don't say that. Minhag HaMakom means if people are doing something that's legitimate and right, you should not be the outlier. You should not be the one to do differently than they. We don't want to have machlokas in the community, and says the Gemara, that is very important. For example, writes the Gemara, for example, Reb Safra l'Rababa kagon anan, diadina mikviya diyarcha, biyishuv la'adinan. If I live in a community and I know the fixed calendar and I know exactly when Yom Tov is going to be, but I go to a community where they are observing Yom Tov Sheni, what do I do? So he says, if I'm in that community for Yom Tov, I have to keep Yom Tov Sheni just like them. If I'm outside of the community, let's say I'm traveling and I didn't even get there and I get stuck on the side of the highway all by myself for the entire duration of Yom Tov, then since I know the fixed calendar and I know exactly when I'm supposed to keep Yom Tov, I only observe one day of Yom Tov, and I'm not subject to the minhag of that community because I'm not there. That's the example that the Gemara gives. Based on that, the Shulchan Aruch writes in Siman Taf Tzadi Vav as follows. B'nei Eretz Yisrael Shabo L'chutz L'aretz. If you have somebody who legitimately lives in Eretz Yisrael, not somebody who claims to live there, somebody who really is a Ben Eretz Yisrael. Asurin Lasos Malacha B'Yom Tov Sheni B'Yishuv. If they come to Chutz L'aretz for whatever reason, they're in America for Yom Tov, and they're with family, or they're in the hospital, or whatever, wherever they are, they have to make sure to observe Yom Tov Sheni, means they're not allowed to do malacha. Afilu daito lachzor, even though I came to America just to visit family, my whole parnasa is back in Eretz Yisrael, my house is there, I'm going back. I left everything behind. I have no intention of staying here. Still, the Shulchan Aruch says, while I'm in America, while I'm in Chutz La'aretz, I have to observe the chumrah of Yom Tov Sheni. I have to make sure not to do malacha. And calls man shelo igia liyishuv, here's the caveat. If I stay, let's say, outside of the yishuv, let's say I go to Newark, New Jersey, right? So there's no Jews who live there. Now, why you spend the Yom Tov in Newark, New Jersey? I don't know. But says the Gemara, if you live, that was just an example, but let's say I go to a place for Yom Tov where there are no Jews around, I'm outside of the yishuv, then says the Gemara, you don't have to be machmer for Yom Tov Sheni. But once I come into a Jewish community, then I have to follow the minhag hamakom, and I have to make sure, if they are observing 2 days of Yom Tov, I have to make sure not to do malacha on Yom Tov Sheni either. Now, this was the big discussion with Reb Shlomo Zalman about these soldiers who are in Beirut. So what do they do? What do they do? They're in Beirut. So what do you say?
It's like Newark.
It's like Newark. Why is it like Newark? Because Chutz Min HaYishuv, there is no Jewish community there. If they were going to a place in Chutz La'aretz where there were Jews around and there's a yishuv and they all kept Yom Tov Sheni, that would be one thing. But the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah are right. If there is no yishuv at all, Yisraeli, if there's no Jews that are around, I don't have to worry about it. Now, what malacha am I not allowed to do? Let's say you have an Eretz Yisrael Dikur who comes in and they're staying in your house for Yom Tov. Your grandchildren come, they're staying in your house for Yom Tov, so they're not allowed to do malacha on Yom Tov Sheni. That means they can't turn the lights on, they can't do all kinds of different things. What else would we say? So Tosis writes in Maseches Pesachim, they would not even be allowed to do malacha b'tzina, which means when they go into their room and they close the door, they wouldn't be allowed to be on their phones. They can't turn the lights on and off, even in their own room. It's mefurish. It's clear in Tosfos and Maseches Pesachim, the Magen Avraham, the Mishneh Berurah quote that opinion of Tosfos, unequivocal conclusion that a Ben Eretz Yisrael who happens to be in America or anywhere in Chutz La'aretz for the second day of Yom Tov has to make sure that they do not do Melacha. Reb Moshe talks about maybe we should say, even though they're not allowed to do Melacha, maybe they're allowed to turn the lights on and off. Why? Why? What? No. No, that's a good point, but no, that's not where he goes. Since nowadays we have Shabbos clock, so if somebody's looking into their room and sees the lights going on and off, they're going to say, the guy, he's not a Mechal Shabbos, he's not Mechal Yom Tov. All he's doing is he set a Shabbos clock. My father likes to tell the story. There was somebody who came from Eretz Yisrael for like 2 years. He was teaching in one of the yeshivas here. He's a tremendous Talmud Chacham. And he happened to take an apartment in my parents' building. And my father said he was a real bucky in Shas. He was amazing. So my father told the story that 2 years after he had left, this person was here for a year or two, and then he went back to Eretz Yisrael. 2 years after he left, a woman in the building came to him and said, remember that man who was here? You know, he was like a rabbi. She said, yeah. So she said, you know, I'm just wondering, was he observant? So my father said, what are you talking about? She said, I always saw the lights going on and off at times when Jews don't turn the lights on and off. So my father said, how can it be? Of course he was from, you know, he was Shomer Shabbos, Shomer Kashrus. It doesn't make sense. So my father said, maybe it was Yom Tov Sheni, and he was a Ben Eretz Yisrael. He only came temporarily. He was really a Ben Eretz Yisrael. Maybe it was Yom Tov Sheni. She said, I don't know about your Yom Tov Sheni. I don't know. But I saw when all the Jews were making sure that they were not doing something, he was always turning the lights on and off. So my father likes to say, here he was in the privacy of his own home, in his own apartment, and there was a woman from across the building who saw that the lights were going on and off. So that's a big shaila that Rav Moshe has. The reason why this is important to mention is because there are many in our community who go to Eretz Yisrael for Yom Tov, and that's a whole separate schmooze, whether you should keep 1 day or 2 days, but there is a legitimate opinion that says that you should only keep 1 day of Yom Tov if you're visiting in Eretz Yisrael. This is not a joke, it's real. There are those who say that, and it's becoming more and more popular that people do that. Okay, if that's the psak that you follow, that's what you follow, that's fine. But many in our community who follow that psak are now flying back to America on Yom Tov Sheni. They don't want to miss a day of work. So they're flying back to the United States on Yom Tov Sheni, landing in JFK on Yom Tov Sheni. And the question is that permissible? So you go back to the Shulchan Aruch. If you stay in the airport, which is Chutz Min HaYishuv, the airport is not in our community. It's outside of our community. If you stay in the airport and you don't leave on Yom Tov and you just want to make sure that you get home, Matzah Yom Tov right away, you don't have to wait till the next day. So then that would potentially be permissible. You'd be allowed to be there and you'd be allowed to do Malacha. However, those who leave the airport and take a taxi and come back into Woodmere on Yom Tov, that is definitely something that you're not allowed to do. That is explicitly a violation of what the Shulchan Aruch says, that if you're coming back into the yishuv of the Jewish community, you have no right to do so because we are observing Yom Tov Sheni and you have to follow the Minhag HaMakom. You have to do exactly what we're doing, even though you are now considered a Ben Eretz Yisrael, even though you kept only 1 day of Yom Tov there. But even if we had a bona fide Ben Eretz Yisrael who was here with us for Yom Tov, he wouldn't be allowed to do Malacha if he was with us. So you're certainly not allowed to do that either, which is something that we definitely need to keep in mind. Yeah.